Joe Hu. Welcome to the Joe Hu Show here on wonderful BBS Radio. BBS Radio is a remarkable new, actually not new, internet radio service. Has many, many hosts and many programs. You know, I mean, regular broadcast radio isn't the same. It'll never be the same anymore. You know, we have all kinds of niche programming that you'll love. And my name again is Joe Hu. I'm a voice natural direct sensitive. What's that? Well, it's a form of intuition. When I hear a person's voice, I start to see things behind my eyes. Past, present, future. Been doing it a long, long time. And I'm talking to you tonight from the Midwest. I'm outside the Chicagoland area. I grew up in the inner city, of course, and as I got older and got a little more sense, I started going more to the country. No, I mean, it's a great city, but, you know, I like being a little bit away from the city. But anyway, our call-in numbers tonight are, for the United States people, 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And for our friends in Canada, the number is 1-888-810-8322. Once again, that's 1-888-810-8322. And we also have a direct line, and that's area code 530-876-3222. Now, as I say, I'm a voice natural direct sensitive, so I will answer your questions. And when you call in, all I need to hear really is your first name only, just the month of your birth, and I'm going to ask you, you know, where you're calling from. Why? So I can hear you speak a little bit. Once I hear you speak, I make a connection. I start to see things behind my eyes. Been doing it my entire life. I've been in broadcast radio for, gosh, a long time, ever since probably around late 1984. And I've done radio and television all over the world, so it's pretty cool. And it's a remarkable thing. You know, everybody has intuition. You know that. Gut feeling, hunches. You know, you hear the women's intuition. Or even your dog. Ah, dogs, cats, they have a sixth sense. Well, yeah, so do we. You know? But as we evolved, you know, as man became more modern, and we have all this input, you know, that's thrust into us, whether it's, you know, 24 hours of television or cell phones or whatever, you know, the volume of the outside world is so loud, you know, and it's really kind of hard to get into that. So, you know, what you need to do is kind of learn how to turn down the volume of the outside world and turn up the volume of the inside world. And it's not that easy to do, but once you get the hang of it, you'll know. You know, I mean, it's pretty easy. And it's kind of, it would be like, let's say you're in your house and suddenly you pull the electrical breaker. How long would it be before you're saying, oh my God, nothing's working and I got to have this, I have to have that. You know, think about that. Think about our forefathers who came to this country with nothing more than covered wagons and these little cabins they built. And, you know, before glass, they had waxed paper on the windows. You know, and the thing is, what did they do in the evening? Did they watch television? No. Did they get on the cell phone and talk to their friends? No. They communed with each other. They told stories. They gazed at the stars. They gazed at the heavens. They contemplated. You know, it was a lot quieter time. And their perceptions were a lot higher. Sure, they're there. But I kind of think they went to sleep in a lot of people. So we have to try and reawaken those things. And there's ways to do that. So when you call in tonight, please understand that, when, like I said, all I need to hear is your first name and just the month of your birth and where you're calling from. Hi, caller.
Hello. My name is Cynthia. The month is December.
And where are you calling from, Cynthia?
Oh, Northern California.
Okay. Cynthia, you're a very independent personality, aren't you?
Yes.
Not too many people get under your feet, you know. You're a spiritual person, but you're the kind of person that can do very well in a business, you know, whatever it's going to be. You're the person that's a leader. You're definitely not a follower. And also about you as an individual, you know, you've kind of always been this way. This independence has been with you for a long, long, long time. It's a shame, too. Well, now it's not too bad, but before there was a lot of envy around you, and that's not really good.
There was.
Yeah, and I don't understand why, because envy's like, you know, envy's not a good thing. Do you ever go to a jewelry store and they don't have different jewelry, they have crosses, and do you ever see the thing that looks like hands with, it's like a little hand with two fingers sticking out, the baby finger and the index finger?
No.
And the other ones are brought together? Well, that's, believe it or not, that word's off in Italian called malocchio, which is evil eye, which is envy.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's, yeah, and that's what you have to be. That was around you before, so it kind of pulled you back a little bit, you know. But it's not that's not the case now.
It was mostly with women. Men, no.
Oh, I know.
But it was me growing up with young women. But I healed all that now.
Good. Well, I said it's not with you now.
Sorry?
I said it's not with you now.
No.
But it was an interesting lesson.
Yes.
Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I am wondering if I'm going to be moving. I didn't re-sign my lease because I just feel like I am, but nothing has come up. And right now I am doing two or three different jobs that are part-time.
You need to move.
I have a main mission that I'm very much connected to, but it hasn't really taken off yet.
Right.
So I'm just kind of in a little state of panic because...
No. Don't be in panic, but you do need to move. And where were you thinking of moving?
I don't know. Nothing has come up yet.
Mm-hmm. Where would you like to move?
Well, I'm not sure I love where I live. And I won't move unless it's something wonderful.
But you didn't sign your lease. You didn't re-sign your lease.
No, but I can go month to month.
Well, listen, we are going to stay there probably through July. In the middle of August, there's going to be an opportunity that's going to come into your realm. You're going to move, but not that far away.
Okay.
Which I find interesting because the whole area is kind of nice. So you're not going to move that far away. And believe it or not, it's actually going to be a very positive issue for you.
Okay.
Now, you're going to have some people tell you not to do it. I'm telling you to do it.
Okay.
All right? And there's a reason why I'm telling you. You're stagnating a little bit where you're at. And I think it's tied to where you're actually living. I'm thinking it's tied to the actual apartment you're in or building or whatever it is you're in. Okay? And you can do this test yourself if you'd like. How long have you been in there?
Probably 5 years, but everyone who comes here, they don't want to leave. It's such a beautiful place. It's peaceful.
You talking about the area, is it a condo or what
is
it?
It's a condo, and it's the condo, it's the area, it's the whole inner.
Well, the area is fine. I don't like the condo.
Oh, I see.
Okay, and you can test this for yourself. This may sound a little funny, but just listen for a minute.
Okay.
Take four glasses.
Okay.
You know, and make sure they're all cleaned. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you take four pieces of paper, and each one of that, go to the store and get some distilled water.
Okay.
Okay. Pour each glass, half a glass full. And then set them on the floor in each corner of the condo. Not every room, but in each corner of the shape of the condo.
Okay.
For 24 hours.
Okay.
And the next day, you take those four glasses with the reason why I put a piece of paper on it so dust doesn't get in or anything like that, so that you don't have nothing contaminated. And take those four glasses and then set them on the counter, and then one by one, take a little sip. And if one or two have a bitter flavor to them, that's just telling me to tell you that there's negativity in part of that condo.
Oh, really? Because I'm always clearing it.
You know, I understand that, but it's not energy that's from you.
Oh, okay.
It's not people that have come in there.
Okay.
There's something deceiving about one area of that condo, and I want you to be able to see that for yourself rather than take my word for it.
Okay, great. Okay.
Okay? Also, like I said, so, I mean, the area is beautiful. It's fine. I mean, but that particular place that you're in is not a positive issue. And it's funny because things can be very deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's the people that would feed off each other. You have positive people around you. Of course they're going to feed off each other, which kind of helps the negativity. But it's been there, and it's there for, and I don't know why it's there.
Oh,
but you can do that yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. And then, you know what, next week call me back.
Okay, well, the issue is that you're thinking that I'm moving close. I've been wanting, I have a property issue that hasn't been settled yet, and I wanted to buy something once it got settled. So you're saying that I'm going to move... not too far away from here, so I guess I'm going to be renting again.
Where's the property at?
In the San Joaquin Valley.
And how far is that from where you're at?
About an hour.
Well, yeah, that's the area. You know, I'm saying the area. You're not moving, you know, 4 hours away. You're not moving 300 miles away.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to move there.
What?
I don't want to.
No, I didn't say you want to move there, but I was just trying to give you what I say in the area.
Okay.
Within an hour of where you're living, to me, is the area.
Oh, okay.
You know, given the traffic and things, you know, in other words, within 100 miles of the radius of where you're at.
Oh, about 100, okay.
Yeah, to me, that's pretty much, you know, not far.
So would this be a place that I'm staying at, or is it another transitional place?
No, it'll be a different place, a place you've never been before.
I know, but am I going to stay there, or am I
Oh, yeah, you're going to stay there. Because the next move you'll make will be out of state.
Okay, I'm going to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Until, like I said, you'll stay there, but the next move you do make, which is down the road, will be out of state.
Out of state.
Right.
Yeah, I was looking at Arizona.
Yeah, well, you know what? Check out New Mexico, too.
Okay.
Where do all the artistic people go there in New Mexico?
Santa Fe.
Around Santa Fe area. Not actually in Santa Fe, a little north of Santa Fe.
Okay. Well, see, do you see me doing the three different jobs, or are you
No, I'm kind of surprised.
I am, too.
Okay, and let me tell you one reason why I'm surprised, because you're a person who's usually pretty organized.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And people that have the skills and qualities you have usually go into some form of either have their own business.
Well, I do. I organize people's lives.
What?
But that's not my mission. My mission is very different.
Wait, what did you say you do?
I organize people's lives.
How do you do that?
I'm kind of like a wife for someone.
Are you a high-class maid or what?
I started this business thinking that I was going to reach men, and it seems like all my clients were women.
That's right.
But
you know why?
Because men can't reach me. They don't really...
Well, first of all, you're very strong.
Yeah.
A lot stronger than you give yourself credit for.
Uh-huh.
And men who will come on to you would tend to be strong, but wind up to be totally the opposite.
Uh-huh.
Because they know you're strong, and they want you to take over. That's not what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want you to fall into that either, because then you get the realm of their energy, and that's not necessarily good.
Right. Oh, I've had past relationships like that.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, because I've been doing two or three different jobs, that I'm just really tired, and I want...
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
What do you... Hey, listen, you've been on job interviews in your life, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, have you ever sat down and interviewed yourself?
No.
No, I know you haven't. You know, people don't repeat. It's funny because people sit there and they think, they don't really give themselves the opportunity to think, wait a minute, what do I really like? What do I really like to do? What don't I like and what I really don't want to do?
I know what I'm going to do. I have a mission to accomplish.
And that mission is?
It's so beyond anything. I'm going to be involved in creating a new kind of children's home on a global level.
It's really funny you bring that up. It's very interesting that you bring it up. There's a gentleman in Indiana. Oh, it's a long story. I don't have time to go into it. And he's doing the exact same thing.
Wow.
And want to talk about something amazing. He's from a part of Chicago. And this was a remarkable... When it first opened up, it was run by some sisters, you know.
Right.
And then somehow they lost it or something. I don't know what happened. But then these other people took it over, and it was not a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
this
I'm meeting people now. They're finding me, and I'm finding them. And
yes. Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you, this guy, when he found the place, you know, they're going to turn it into some type of thing for children to come. You know, anyway, him and his wife did it, and all of a sudden, he was in his office. This is a true story. And he had a receptionist there, and these two very old ladies came in there. And they knew his name. He said, "We've come here to talk to so-and-so." And so, you know, she goes back, and he said, what this is about? So we just come to talk to him. So he came out of his office, and he says, "We've been waiting for you since 1956.
Wow.
Okay? Well, the guy, I think, was born in 57 or something. You know, he wasn't born in 56. And we said, "We know about your coming." And then he says, "What is..." Then they tried to tell him the story. He went back in his office, and she says, you know, asked the secretary to come with him, because he was real leery about the whole thing. And they were in the office maybe, you know, just, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. They came out, they were gone. There was no car, nothing. And they've written stories about it, and certain religious leaders from all over the world are checking this whole thing out.
Yes, I would love to know his name if I could email you.
Email me, yes, email, I can tell you his last name is Young, all right? But email me, joe@johu.com. It's joe@joe, you know, Johu is all one word, so it's joe@johu.com.
Johu?
No, just joe@johu.com.
Joe@johu?
Yes.
.com, okay.
.com, yes. And my website is just johu.com.
Oh, wow, okay.
Okay?
Great.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's very fascinating. She said that she wants to start a global, and it's interesting because this gentleman that I know has been trying to get that going. In fact, he is getting it. He's already started to do the same thing. So there's an interesting connection. Isn't that interesting? If you know six people, you can actually tie around the world. You see? So I'm going to make a connection to her, to this gentleman, and then she's on the West Coast, and he's over here in the Midwest, and from there it grows. If you know six people, you can actually connect around the world today. And that's amazing. So, you know, talk about shrinking world. Well, yeah, shrinking in a lot of ways. It's just an amazing, we're living in a very amazing time. I'm sure many of you have heard about the Mayan calendar ending in 2012 and all the conjecture of what that is. Some people think the globe is going to shift. Some people think it's going to be destroyed. Some people think we're entering into a new state of consciousness, you know, a new state of awareness, you know. Unfortunately, we can't delve into those things because we're too involved in the mundane things of normal day-to-day activities. And besides that, we're being thrown all kinds of stuff from every which way. Every which way. Hi, caller, you're on with Joe.
Hi, I'm Heather from just south of Santa Fe in New Mexico.
And the month of your birth?
January.
Okay, you need to relax a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Where are you from originally?
Canada.
Okay, how long have you been in New Mexico?
About 10 years.
You like it?
Love it.
See that? Did you notice how your energy changed when you left Canada?
Wow.
I'm serious. some people, because you're born in a certain area, doesn't mean you actually belong in that area. It's tied to choices you make when you come back. You know, some people, everybody has better places geographically, not everybody, but some people do better in different geographical areas. It has nothing to do with the weather, it just has to do with the area. You see?
I've been told before that it was deadly for me up there.
Absolutely. Canada was not a good place for you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, look at what happened. I mean, from family to everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And right now it's like, oh my God, I've got 50 pounds of stuff that's been lifted off of me.
Yep.
You know, and you enjoy it, and you have this inner peace. Although don't get me wrong, you're not a person that's bored. You don't keep you're not idle at all.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, you know, if you've got to do something, you're not the kind of person to sit around.
That's right.
You know, and it's funny. It's funny how you look at small details around you with something you never did in Canada.
Huh. Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
I know I'm right. I can see it. I'm sorry. What's your question?
I want to know what my connection is with the Andromedans, if any.
Okay, before I ask you that, I got to ask you a question. Were you just at the dentist?
No, but I need to.
Yeah, okay. The hair standing up on my arms. I am terrified of dentists. That's one of my one traumas as a kid. I don't go into it. Whenever I start reading somebody and the hair stands up on my arms, it has to do with teeth. So you've got to get to the dentist, okay?
All right.
Let me get that out of the way so the chills go away. All right.
Okay.
Now, what did you ask me?
I asked you what my connection is with the Andromedans.
That's a very interesting question because, you know, it's either going to be, a lot of people have come to me with either Palladians or the Andromedans, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't know quite how to look at that. If I look at that stuff intuitively, intuition, I see another intelligence intervened or involved, but I'm not sure if they're actually saying they're from there or if they're interdimensional. That's the one thing I'm having a hard time seeing. And intuitively, I have a real hard time seeing that.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't doubt there's some kind of connection you have with something. But I can't honestly tell you, intuitively, that's Andromedans or Palladians or whatever. I'm more inclined to think that it's something that tends to be more interdimensional.
It could be. But whenever I think of the Andromedans, I feel this tremendous sense of peace.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Yeah. I wondered if that was a...
No, but it's tied to something, and I do believe it's something interdimensional. The inner peace is a reminiscent memory, so obviously you have some memory of something.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the fact that it brings you that peace, I have no reason to deny it or doubt it, but I can't see what it is. I can't see that it's from Andromeda area or it's from the Palladian area, the Pleiades and all that. I can't see that, and trust me, I've sat in on many, many of MUFONs, and I've researched a lot of this, and that tells me that I think some of this is more interdimensional, and it ties to what people sent were easier to accept. Oh, it's easier to accept Andromeda. It's easier to accept the Palladians, or it's easier to accept that than something that's possibly interdimensional.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Okay.
Are they blocking you? No, they're not blocking me. They're not blocking you.
No.
Okay.
No.
But it's just...
It's just what I see.
Uh-huh. And if the other lady is still listening, tell her that this is a wonderful place to live.
Oh, I that's where she's going to wind up. I know she is.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And listen, would you please make an appointment with a dentist?
Yes, I will. I will do that this week. I'll make
an
appointment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's true. When I was a little boy, and I grew up in a little Italian neighborhood in Chicago, and when I first went to the dentist, you know, I could not understand why this man wanted to put his fingers in my mouth, and he had this little pick, and he was probing around, and it drove me nuts. And I would not open my mouth. I mean, I bit the poor guy, and... I couldn't sit still no matter what, so my mom gave permission to strap me in the chair and to hold me down, and they put a dam so I couldn't bite his fingers. Well, come to find out as years went by that I can handle a lot of pain except my teeth. I have very close, they call it close nerves in my teeth surface. I don't know what they mean by that. All I know is the sound of a drill will send me up a wall, even in a movie. So that's the one trauma that I've been trying to work through my whole life. I'm just terrified of dentists. And I know a lot of them. I've got a lot of them as clients. They're nice guys, you know. But, you know, until they come out with totally painless dentistry, and I have no problem. Hey, doc, you give me as many shots as you need because there's no way I can handle that noise, you know, or the pain of the teeth. And I finally found one dentist that he's got a television and he's got stereo headphones. You know, so they turn them up so I can't hear nothing going on. But, But that's pretty funny. So whenever I see somebody has to have something with their teeth, the hair stands up on my arms. I automatically get triggered back to that time, so I know it has to do with their teeth, not mine. You see? So I find that interesting. And it's funny how that works. When people have, you know, you have some medical intuitives, and they'll say, well, they feel, you know, the pain in a person's back, so they see a back problem. Well, I see that also, but I don't see that in the empathic side that I feel the emotion of the pain of the back. I don't feel the pain of the back, but the emotion of the pain of the back, or the emotion of the ankle, or the emotion of the knee, or the emotion of whatever, of the pain. Okay, that's what I see. And I'm glad, because I don't think I would want to talk to somebody who have my back hurt or, you know, things like that. So, and I'm lucky that way, you know. Anyway, by the way, I do have a website, which is johu.com. It's www.johu.com. It's all one word. And we're taking your calls tonight in the United States. Our phone number is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And in our friends in Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. That's again in Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322, and they are both toll-free numbers. And we do have a direct line, which is area code 530-876-3222. Whew, got that out of the way. And the weather here, by the way, I was going to tell you, the weather here in the Chicago area is we've been having rain and sun for 2 days. And I don't mean just a drizzle. I mean like a downpour. You know, like a half hour, 45 minutes of a downpour, and all of a sudden stop. Then the sun comes up. An hour later, same thing. And I've lived here my entire life, and I've never quite seen anything like this. Maybe a couple times before. So we've got some interesting weather patterns going on. And I don't think it's caused by global warming, caused by man. I just think it's part of the, you know, our planet is alive. You know, Earth Mother is alive. It's living. You know, in its own way, it has its own energy. It's its own entity. You know, I mean, goodness, if it wasn't alive, we sure as hell wouldn't be here, would we? And I think it's cycles. We're not a static planet. We're not a static solar system. We're not a static galaxy. We're not a static universe. You know, and there's all kinds of energies that are coming in and out and around us. You know, not just the ones that scientists know, but the ones they know are out there but can't identify with some things they call dark matter, things they call dark energy. They know they're there. They don't know what they are. So I think as we travel in our universal travel, I think our little planet Earth goes through all kinds of weird things. And does it affect us? Oh, I think absolutely. In fact, I actually believe that man has come and gone on this planet 3 times. And that's a very interesting thing, but I think so. You know, this is kind of a school, and we're here to get through it. And it's not that easy. You know, we thought, you know, I believe that the souls that come to this level, you know, I call this a level 4 planet, and I think we're all the ones that come here like the A group. Remember the A group in high school, you know, the gifted kids? Well, you know, I think the souls that come here are mighty spiritual beings. And we figured we could do it. So we get here and go, man, this is hard, you know. Can I change my mind? No. It's, you know, we're spiritual beings trying to understand what it's like to be human. It's part of an educational process that we all have to learn as we move forward to our journey to the center, which is a very interesting, complex journey. You know, it ain't easy. You know, I think lessons get harder, not easier. Different ways, different things, different times. So, anyway, I was talking before about how to turn down the volume of the outside world and turn up the volume of the inside world. And it's not that difficult to do. It's finding the time in today's world might be a little bit hard. You know, I mean, how many times do you no sooner sit down and relax, boom, the phone rings? Okay? Or something's going on. And today, everybody's in communication with everybody else. I just have a hard time with that. I mean, there's got to be a time where, you know, and people have these Bluetooth, is that what they call them? Those things they put on their ears, and like a telephone on their ears? I mean, I've walked in the city, I see people talking, and think, are they talking to themselves? All of a sudden, they turn their head and go, oh, they're on the cell phone thing on their ear. I don't believe that I'm that important to have to be in communicado with everybody all the time. You know, turn those things off once in a while. Turn it off. Geez, turn it off. You know, and one thing you can do, and it's usually going to be doing in the, or, you know, in the evening hours, obviously, because the earth is a little bit quieter in the evening anyway, and take the phone off the hook so you don't get bothered. You know, if you've got kids, man, obviously, because they have to be down, you know, sit, you know, put them in bed or when they're at their bedtime. And you just, you know, close your eyes. You can put on some music, some really nice music, not rock and roll or, you know, Rolling Stones or anything like that, but something nice. A very good group that's really good for good meditation. And any one of their albums are very good. It's a group called Liquid Mind, And one of the albums I like best is called Ambience Minimus, because it actually allows you to travel. You know? And what you can do is just close your eyes, do a little relaxation therapy. How do you do that? Well, you start by, you know, first relaxing your toes. I'm sure you've all heard this, then your feet, then your shins. But well, people say, well, gee, how do I know it's relaxed? Well, if you don't know it's relaxed, just tighten up and then slowly relax. And you go through that little relaxation session, and then you have, you know, this music is in the background. Okay, now don't go to sleep. Now, you know, you got to be careful, because a lot of times you'll conk out. Probably because, you know, gosh, I didn't stop to realize I really haven't, you know, stopped for a minute today. So sometimes it's better to do it like in, you know, not, you can lay down, but 9 times out of 10 you might fall asleep, at least the first few times. If you have one of those lounge chairs, it might be better, although you can fall asleep in there too. You can fall asleep standing up. But so the first few times you might. But allow yourself, but I don't, you've got to try and clear your mind. That's the hardest thing, is to clear your mind. You know, so after you do the relaxation, just picture a bright light. You know, let's say the sun is bright light, God's bright light on you, and just bathing you in a soft white light that's very peaceful and very relaxing. And you listen to this music, and then just allow it to take you. Don't have any pretense of what you're supposed to do. Just allow it to take you. This will be hard to do. It's going to be hard to do at first. Take a few times to do that. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe.
Yes, this is Benny.
Hi, Benny.
What is my past life?
Where are you calling from?
From Lake Charles, Louisiana.
And what's the month of your birth?
March 6, 1955.
Just a month. I'm not an astrologer. I hear you speak. Well, first of all, you know, I can't, to see past lives, it's a process that takes about 3 hours to do a past life regression.
Okay.
Sometimes I get glimpses of people's past lives, but, you know, to be honest with you, it wouldn't be fair to me to tell you what I think I see, because it's a process that takes about 3 hours to do.
Okay.
Okay? But I can tell you this. First of all, you have to understand that you're an old soul, so you've been around many times.
Well, yes, okay? Definitely.
And I see a very strong connection to Ireland or England, because Ireland and England and Scotland, for some reason, intuitively look a lot alike to me. But I think it's more Ireland.
Okay.
Okay? And that's around the 16th century, all right, which I find interesting. But that's not, you know, I still see a glimpse of that. And by the way, 99% of people that are just had normal lives, you know, are just like today. I mean, the few that, you know, are famous and things, those people have had a lot of pasts where they've been famous one way or another. I find that interesting. But you have to understand, because you're an old soul, you've been here many times.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I believe in past lives and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that.
No, and, hey, you know what? Wouldn't it be arrogant thinking to think one lifetime is going to give you enough knowledge to sit before the center, to sit before God? That's a working process. It'd be like having a child in kindergarten and try to give him a college education. He's not going to learn anything, is he?
No, definitely
okay.
Not.
So your soul learns, too. So you're an old
definitely.
Soul. In fact, you're a very old soul, and I can tell you what that means about you. You're extremely emotionally motivated. You like unusual things. You get bored with things. You get excited today about something, you'll be bored next week. You know, you might have a hard time remembering names. There's reasons for that. The people you know now, you've known before. Souls tend to stick together, number one. Number two, you've done so many things in the past, it's hard to find new things to do. So the excitement is only there until all of a sudden you do it and say, well, you know what, I'm bored. Well, yeah, because there's some kind of reminiscent memory at some time or another you've done something like it.
Oh, that's definitely me. I'm very gifted and I'm very psychic.
Oh, yeah. Your birthday is March what?
March 6th.
March 6th? You want to hear something?
1955.
My father was born March 7th. My sister was born March 8th. My brother was born March 10th. My mother was born March 13th. I'm born March 15th. And we're all left-handed.
Yeah. Well, I'm right-handed.
You know?
I can't work with my left hand.
We're all left-handed. And that's again, I used to go to Catholic school when I was a kid where I used to try and beat you up, you know, to change your hand. That was years ago because I was born late before you. And, but it's interesting. But, you know, the point is that you're definitely a very old soul. And it's funny that you're born in March because it's on both sides of my family. Everybody has intuition. Some people are just, you know, you have better doctors, better lawyers, you know. Yeah, but the thing is, you're more in tune to it. Why? Because you've always gone to the beaver. Even as a kid, when you were a little kid, you used to look up at the sky and wonder. You know, the more something, you know, you've always had that contemplation. Even as a kid, you had that.
Oh, definitely.
I know you did. What do you do now? You help people?
Yeah, I help people at times, but I read water meters for a living for right now until I find something else better.
Oh, no, I don't mean about career. I'm not talking about your career. I'm not talking about what you do for a job. I'm saying, how do you help people?
Oh, okay. When people having problems or like that, they come to me, and I'll tell them what's going to happen and stuff like that. And I'll give them a little information, but I more or less teach people how to do it for themselves.
How to see for themselves, right?
Right.
You can't teach anybody to be psychic, my friend. You can only teach them how to bring out the abilities they have.
Well, exactly.
And I know that because I run a class called Cenotech, which is a Center for Natural Technology. You can't teach anybody how to be intuitive because they're already there. You can only teach them how to bring up, how to access what they have.
No.
You know?
Well, on the internet, I've taught people how to soul travel.
Okay.
And
when you say soul, are you talking about soul travel or astral projection?
Yeah, out-of-body experience,
okay.
Basically.
Right. You know how many times people do that in dream and sleep and they don't even know it? You know, it's a lot more common than people think. Do you ever go to bed and wake up more tired than you went to bed?
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times people are astral projecting and they don't even know it.
I do a lot and I'm aware of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of it, too. I'm aware of it. And it's interesting. You know, have you heard any of this stuff about remote viewing?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Definitely. I do that, too.
I got to tell you something. This is absolutely true. In the late 60s, I used to hang out with some kids when I was in college, and my buddy knew what I could do, and I never really told that a lot of people. I mean, they didn't believe me. So I said, well, you know, can you go somewhere? I said, yeah. I sat in a chair, and I went to this person's house that they were all kind of fearful of, and I described everything in this house. It's a long story to go into, and it all turned out to be true. And then thinking, remote viewing, that's nothing. I mean, you can actually go to places and still be able to communicate with the person in the and in other words, I can sit where I'm sitting right now, and I can go to where you live and talk about what I see in your house.
Okay.
You can do that. You see? Astral projection, you know what's funny? The hardest thing about astral projection is fear. There's a great...
I know. That's something you got to overcome. I mean,
right.
Basically...
Right.
I've gotten over that fear a long time ago. I don't have fear as far as that.
One of the best books ever written was a book called... Astral Projection, A Record of Out-of-Body Experience by a gentleman by the name of Oliver Fox. Okay? Believe it or not, this book was done in the 30s, and it's still, there's no book that touches it today. No book that touches it today.
Yeah.
All he's doing is giving case history, and he's describing things, and the way he's, you know, and it's amazing, because the way he describes it, how to do it. And the most, and I there's a very famous radio personality that he did radio all over the country. And, you know, he had me on his show once a long, long time ago, and I told him about it, and I told him how he can do it. I actually worked with him. Well, he was able to do it, and this is a true story. And he started floating up out of his body, looked down on saw himself on his bed, and it frightened him so much, he was instantly back in his body, and he's been unable to do it since, because fear will block it. You know, and that's what you can't do. You can't be fearful.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that.
Did you have a question for me?
No, not really. I mean, I belong to a religion. It's called Eckhart Tolle, and I teach all about, you know, how
I'm
to see and get a tool and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Eckhart Tolle. Well, listen, I do thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Eckhart Tolle, wow, I haven't heard that in a while. you know, there's another interesting thing. I don't know, how many people have heard of the Urantia Foundation? Or the book, the Urantia book. You want to get into some really, really interesting reading. It's a very difficult book to get through. I mean, you have to read one page and contemplate the page for about a week. But it's called Urantia. And the Urantia Foundation is in Chicago. But the Urantia book is a very, very interesting book.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
May I have your first name, please?
Yes, Rose.
And just the month of your birth, Rose?
The date of birth?
No, just the month.
August.
And where are you calling from?
Nebraska.
Oh, okay. What part of Nebraska?
Omaha.
Okay. Did you ever hear of a town called Binkelman, Nebraska?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Binkelman, with a B. Did you ever hear of that town?
No.
See? I had a friend that was from Binkelman, Nebraska, and every time for years, no one's ever heard of that town. It makes me wonder who this person was that was my friend when I lived in Colorado. I'm sorry. What can I do for you?
Oh, I was just calling to... get a reading.
Okay, well, Rose, first of all, you have to understand that you're an independent person. You're a younger soul, which means, of course, you have emotions and heart, but you've always been the person that's kind of had to take care of business, whether you wanted to or not. Okay? Your strengths are interesting because people, it's funny, sometimes people will resent that strength, but they would come to you if they needed to talk to you. So I can't understand where that came from, and that's going to be more personal related than friendships, you know? And as a person, too, you're cut and dry. I mean, and you know, when you look at things analytically, you don't have an awful lot of gray area, you know?
Yep.
And the funny thing about you is you've got a lot of talents inside you, and I kind of think you're a little bit on hold right now, and I'm trying to understand why. You know?
Uh-huh.
Don't you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, I'm just starting to come out of my shell.
Yeah, I know. but you've been on hold, and you're still on hold.
Exactly.
A little bit. You've got to kind of shed that. It's like, you know, we're waiting to go from the chrysalis to the butterfly.
Right.
And you can do it, but stop, you know, don't doubt yourself. Don't feel, oh, can I do this? You know, I always tell people that the universe only has one answer, and it's yes. If you're afraid you're not going to do it, okay, you won't do it. You know, that's why I tell people, be careful. You ever hear the expression, as a little girl, even in life, be careful, you might get what you ask for?
Right.
You know, people ask for negative things they don't even know. Oh, God, I hope I don't get in an accident. I hope I don't get in an accident. Boom, before you know it, they get in an accident. Why? Because they're setting up the energy to bring it to them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or so when something good happens. How many people say, okay, this is too good to be true. When is the other shoe going to drop? What's the downside? What are you saying? You're saying, okay, well, this is good, but it's going to go bad. Well, exactly what's going to happen? So stop it. You know, when something good happens, say, thanks, it's about time I deserve it. You know, nobody's better than anybody else. Everybody's the same. You know, I mean, on the general plan of things, you know, I would say 97% of us are anyway. So what I see in you is that it's not a shyness. It's like you know you can do it, but I think you hold yourself back. And I think part of the reason, in fact, I know part of the reason, what I see is as a child, your family was kind of cool emotionally.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay? And, you know, if it was things were a little bit different, you would have been in a completely different place in your life today.
Mm-hmm. All
right? Well, now you got to shed that. And I got to tell you something. Did you ever hear what a bag lady is?
Yes.
Okay. You're an emotional bag lady.
That's
you have
true.
About 30 pounds of emotional garbage that doesn't belong to you. You got to do a little mental housekeeping, you know, and house cleaning. You got to think of what's inside you that's yours and what's inside you that doesn't belong to you, that was instilled upon you by other people, whether it's mm-hmm. family or whatever. It's going to be mostly family.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there were times I see you were never allowed to be a child. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Yeah.
Okay? So now it's time to get rid of that stuff.
Right.
You know, dump it, you know? Trust me, it's easier said than done.
No, I know. I'm working on it.
I know. There's a great exercise you can do, but it takes a little time. Don't forget, it took years to get this way, you know, to all this stuff build up. How can I explain this to you? There's something called V-tree memory. Okay, that's like one memory unlocks another. So let's say every other evening, every other night, because it would drive you nuts otherwise. Let's say tomorrow night, okay? Close your eyes, you know, and you have to take the phone off, because you can't be disturbed when you do this. And I want you to contemplate on the issues of this year. Okay? I don't care what they are. You know, the things that you remember about this year. All right? It's no big deal. And then wait another night, and then let's say you're 35, about being 35. Then not tomorrow, but the day after. I mean, not, you know, a day after the day you do it, then you go into 34, and then 33, and then 32, and there's a reason for this. The neurons in our brains travel about 252 miles an hour. Let's picture a cave, and when you have a memory, it's in the cave. It's like it lives in a little cave.
Uh-huh.
Like your name. If I say, what's your name?
Oh, Rose.
Rose. All of a sudden, that little impulse, boom, goes right into that little cave because it knows exactly where Rose is. Okay? At 252 miles an hour, bam, boom, Rose. All right. Then we have a memory that's been sitting there for a while. You haven't used, so it gets kind of like a spider web in front of it. So this poor little electron is going back and forth trying to find it because it's being blocked a little bit by the little web. And here's an example. Hey, Rose, remember we went to that movie? And you go, yeah, it was a great movie. Who was that star? You go, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's on the tip of my tongue. And, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. 10 minutes later, boom, it comes to you. Boom. That poor little electron finally broke through that spider web and grabbed the memory. Okay? And that's how you remember it, because our brain's very efficient. And then you have this other memory that's, you know, could be something devastating like a trauma. And that's a wall. Okay? And it takes a lot of strength of an electron to break through to remember that memory. Well, the exercise I'm giving you is making you remember more. And you're actually building it. It's like going to the gym. These electrons are going to the gym. So you go 35, 34, 33. It's not too many eventful things, you know. Like, but eventually, when you get down to, you know, 17, 16, 15, 14, 30, the memories will start flooding because you've already, you know, you're working on these little impulses and you're actually, you know, bringing these things forward. It's like, let's say you went to a wedding. Oh, I went to Sue's wedding. Yeah, what a great wedding. Yeah, but did you see that horrible bridesmaid dress? Yeah, I remember that, but the food was good. Yeah, did you see that one guy? See how one memory unlocks another?
Mm-hmm.
So this exercise allows you to bring some of these things forward that you've gotten mocked up that you can't remember anymore, but the energy is holding you back is still there. And there's two events that I see that really need to be looked at, between the ages of 6 and 8, and then again to 12 and 15.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Once those are unlocked, And it's going to take a little exercise. But what's amazing about it is it's also a good exercise to kind of, you know, get everything back in shape and what's going on inside you emotionally and help clear out all this emotional crap that doesn't belong to you. And then you can truly move forward. And it's, you know what, you think, it's a lot of work. No, it really isn't. You only do it about 15 minutes, and you'll find out that you'll start dreaming more, you'll start remembering things more, you'll start remembering the past, and that'll help unlock the memories that unlock the doors. All I'm doing is cracking open the door for you to open it.
Okay.
You can do it. Absolutely no problem. This is your time to shine. It should have been a while ago. But you know what? Now it's yours.
I'm going to be working on it.
It's not hard to do. Trust me. It's going to be a little bit boring for the first 5 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit back and say, oh, gee whiz, what am I doing now at 45? Well, you know. But then as you go back, you know, and then you start remembering more. And usually, just before you go to sleep at night, memories will start jumping into your head.
So it's important for me to remember the events,
events. Because you can't remember them.
But maybe I don't want to.
That's exactly right. Well, but that's you protecting yourself. But by the same token, it's also kind of creating a fence around you, keeping you from going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. The ones you remember aren't the issues. It's the ones you don't. And you know what?
Okay.
It'll help put the puzzle together and go, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Okay.
You know? And Rose, I think you need to do it. I mean, the choice is yours. You know, you could be a very accomplished person. And I know, I see the pain back there. No, you're a good lady.
Okay, I definitely will try.
All right, Rose. You take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, we all have issues. I mean, we all have problems. Are you kidding me? I was a rambunctious kid, you know. But I got to be honest with you, I was blessed with very loving parents. You know, I had this typical little, my mother's 4 foot, a little Italian lady. She's 4 foot 9 inches. That's my mother, okay? My dad was 5 feet, 5 foot 1 inch, or 5 foot two, I think my dad was, okay? You know, and I'll give you a hint. My mom's nickname is Meatball. So what does that tell you? You know? And my mom's 85 years old, and she still drives. And she just passed a written test, and, you know, in Illinois now, you do it every 2 years, every year after a certain age. And she always passes it, you know? Age is a frame of mind. If you think old, you get old. And my mom just won't go there. I mean, you know, she's got her house. And I said, Mom, why don't you come move in with me? She goes, what am I going to move in for? You know? So my mom's very independent. You know, try to learn something new every day. It keeps you young. Hi, I'm with Joe.
Hello, Joe. This is Martha.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I love your radio program, so I tuned in.
Well, thank you. Martha, the month of your birth?
February.
And you're calling from where?
California.
Oh, little old soul Martha.
Little old soul.
Yeah, Martha, I see a lot of music around you, but I don't see a lot of fulfillment there.
In music or just in general?
No, music.
Oh.
Music.
What
you
does
know?
That mean, that I should be playing more music?
If you had a person that could have had a very interesting career in music.
Mm.
You know, music is a tool, and I know you use music for a lot of your own personal things. But it's interesting. That's a connection. Where do you think that comes from? That's a past life connection.
I guess so, yeah, because I was playing an instrument when I was young, but that was just for 3 years.
Yeah, what was it?
A violin.
Yes. You played it for 15 years?
No, it was only 3 years while I was in middle school.
Why did you stop?
Because I was in a neighborhood that just looked down at little violins and with embarrassment.
You know, that's one of the hardest instruments in the world to play.
And it didn't feel hard.
No,
it didn't.
Anyway, I'm sorry, but you're definitely an old soul, and like I'll call you my little old soul because you kind of are in a way.
You what?
There's something kind of pixie-ish about you. I don't know why. It's just, you know, you're the kind of person when you smile, your face lights up. Did anybody ever tell you that?
Well, yes, of course, because I'm petite.
Oh, okay. How tall are you?
5 feet, and I weigh 100 pounds.
Oh, there you go. See? Okay.
I'm pixie for sure.
A little pixie. Okay, I was right. I see, you know what's funny, though? I see a lot of energy emanating from you.
Yeah, people love that about me.
Yes. You know, and you collect people like people collect, you know, hobbies, you know? I mean, people are attracted to you. You're very charismatic.
Yes.
You know, I've always been that way. Where are you from originally?
New York City.
Okay. That's a change. When did you leave there?
In 85.
You're a different person.
I was a different person then.
Yeah, I just said you're a different person. You know, that, isn't that interesting? Now, when you got to where you're going in California, did you feel it was home?
I never thought of it as home, but it wasn't a difficult adjustment at all.
No, but when you went there, did it feel familiar to you?
I don't remember.
That's interesting.
I don't remember that feeling.
Okay. Okay.
Why, because I had been here before?
Of course you have.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you have. Not that long ago either, actually. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, Joe. Could you help me understand? I feel a duality in me.
You do. By the way, you lose a lot of things.
I lose a lot of things?
You misplace stuff all the time. Don't you?
Well, because I'm
your mind is always thinking about other things. Now, where did I put that?
Where did I put that? But then I ask, I go, okay, where is it now? Help me find it, and I find it.
Good, that's exactly what I do. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, what are you talking about, the duality?
Well, part of me feels like I could be someone greater than I am.
Well, I've said that. I just said that the very first minute. I said you could have been great in music.
Great in music. Well, I missed that calling.
Yeah, that's right. But what do you think? Well, there's another thing there. There's actually two things I see. What do you think? I got one that I don't have the patience, but you could write.
Oh, writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could write.
Okay. Once I decide to chisel out the thought that I'm not a good writer, I can go for it.
Oh, come on. You can write. Most people don't sit down on paper and pencil. They talk into a cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And they when you're writing, get it out. And don't worry about the punctuation or the spelling or any of that or the syntax. Just get it out. Then you
mm-hmm.
go back and do that.
Right.
That's one of the talents you have. Okay. You also have a very artistic side to you.
I don't know about artistic.
Yes. I'll tell you which way. Pardon me?
Artistic in which way, Joe?
Okay. Artistic as far as human study. There was a lady a couple weeks ago, I think, had the same ability.
Mm-hmm.
Human study. You ever notice how you watch people?
Yes.
Okay. You ever notice that, say, if you're walking in a park or something, you see people are in a car or in a store or sitting at a counter at a lunch or at a restaurant, how you observe them? You're not staring at them. You're observing them. And you're picking up all kinds of things. And you've always done that.
Right.
Okay. So remember that. Right? That's why photography and human study, boom, capturing a look, capturing a feeling through an expression. What were you thinking of?
I was thinking, Joe, that I would want to be somewhere where I'm healing, that I can really affect someone's path, either making them realize, you know, things are okay.
Okay. Well, you've always had that. Remember I said people come and talk to you, you collect, didn't you remember me saying you collect people like a hobby?
Yeah.
What do you think I meant by that?
Well, I want to make money.
Why do you think people are attracted to you? I said you're charismatic. What do you think that all means?
It means that people like to be with me. And
that means you have an energy they feel that makes them feel good, whole, well, safe.
Right.
You're already a healer inadvertently. You want to focus it? Fine, focus it.
I want to be able to harness that gift.
Well, you do. Okay. Let's just say focus it down because the gift is there. Let's say focus it down.
Focus it down.
And the way you focus it down is there's all kinds of different ways to do it. You know, you can take all kinds of classes. You know what? You already have the ability. All you need to do is, you know, apply it on an individual level.
Okay.
Okay? So when someone comes to you, okay, and you start talking and say, all right, listen, let's talk a little bit. I want to get down to a very deep level with you. Tell them right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And just start feeling it and start, you know, and just by your compassion, you're emanating this energy.
Okay.
Just by your inquisitiveness of human nature, just from the uniqueness of the person you talk to. I've heard the same story 100 times. What makes it unique is that person's world. This is your world. This is Joe's world. This is Rose's world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ability's there. I mean, that's what I've been saying from the very beginning of this. You're connected to all the things that are spiritual. And by the way, music is a remarkable tool. Music is, it would take me an hour and a half. I don't have that much time left. But first of all, music can allow an expression to manifest. Just how sometimes when you smell something, it reminds you of another time you hear a song. God, I remember listening to that song when I was a kid. Well, not just the age, but the memories back then. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's utilized for all those things. But the fact that you have this already, the thing is, all you have to do is put it on a one-to-one,
mm-hmm.
okay, and fine-tune it. Think about what you do. I'll tell you what. Here's what I want you to do. Next time you're with a friend or you're talking to somebody, just keep a mental note of exactly what's coming out of you. you know, and exactly what you're feeling, and exactly what you're emanating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you get so involved that you're not paying attention to it because you're doing it already. It's something you've probably always done, have always done, except for maybe that one part in New York when you had all that crap going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's true. I'm paying attention to the other person and not observing what's going on with me.
That's right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you've always been kind of a nurse. You've always been kind of a psychologist.
The nurturing, taking care of.
Yes.
Right.
But you're doing it, you know, you're doing it at a deeper level. And that's why people are attracted to you. That what do you think they're feeling? You're emanating it, not even knowing it. Well, you know it, but if you can't, you don't know it. It's because of what the empathy that you're feeling and the energy you're projecting.
Right.
The love and the healing and the genuine concern for your fellow person, you know?
Right.
All of that. And the fact that you wish them well and you do it on a subconscious level and they feel better. You're not even knowing you're doing it.
Yes.
You know, when somebody, you know, one thing I don't understand, one thing I don't understand that really kind of upsets me is that when someone does well, someone's going to be jealous of them. If one of my friends does well, I'm proud of them.
Right.
You know, everybody has talents.
Exactly.
I have degrees in robotics engineering. I have degrees in music. I used to work at the Defense Department in top secret military projects. I was a resort chef in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. I've done things my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, psychic I was born with, to me, was no big deal. It was on both sides of my family.
Right.
And then one day, by a total accident, something said, took me out of, it's an interesting story. I wound up in a hospital because I fell 10 feet off a ladder. A guy at a radio show says, we have any street psychics, tell me what I lost. You'll get tickets to see the group Genesis. This was way back in 1984. And from a hospital bed, I called him up because I couldn't sleep. And he says, who are you? I go, Joe. He goes, Joe who? And I said, yeah. And it wasn't the name. Somebody gave me that a long time ago. And I said, you didn't lose anything. You swallowed a temporary cap. And he thought I knew him, and then all of a sudden, from that day on, my life changed. Something I always did. In high school, my yearbook says, they used to call me Joe the Medium. You know, how do you know the things you know? I don't know.
Right.
It's on both sides of my... But that's the thing. Here I had it right in front of me, and I never thought much of it because I grew up with it. That I didn't realize in that fateful day in 1984 that, you know, I really do love people. I always did. And I always help. I always talk to people, and I'm helping them.
Right, right. That's your gift.
That's exactly right. You know, and I've always done it. And by the way, I graduated high school in 1967.
Uh-huh.
You see? And the picture on my website is johu.com, www.johu.com. I do not dye my hair, and it's not a wig. Okay? Everybody believes I have a wig, and I dye my hair dark black. No, it's dark brown, and I don't have any gray hair. My dad passed away at 85. He had, I think, 10 gray hairs. Now, mom, on the other hand, she's 85. She's a northern Italian. She's a little lady, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Italian.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's gray, but she keeps her hair like a light brown or something, you know.
Right. And, Joe, you have dreamy eyes, huh?
Pardon me?
Your eyes are dreamy-like.
No, they're brown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're brown. My mother's the only blue-eyed one in the family.
Mm.
My sister, my brother, and myself all have dark hair. My dad had dark hair. And the only one with curly hair was my brother. Everybody else had straight hair, including my mom. But my brother had, like, really curly hair.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So you have the abilities. They're there, okay?
I have it. Now, how do I make money on it? How can I support myself really well?
Yes, you will. I have thought you go, because I'm running out of time.
Bye-bye, Joe. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. If you'd like to call and set up an appointment with me, you can call my office by area code 815-498-9065. That's 815-498-9065. Or go to my website, www.johu.com. And you can do it through the Internet. You click on Get a Reading with Chicago Psychic Joe Who. You click on that. It gives you all the information you know. And you know what, my friends? We're all part of the same family. I love you so very, very, very much because I wouldn't be doing this otherwise. And yes, I care. Yes, I care about the world, especially today, especially things going on. We need to stick together. We really do. I love you. Have a good evening. Goodbye.